This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We got your favorite sports and we got your favorite team.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Way out in California, but we represent the scene.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Pat, Joe, and Tweety are here to make some noise. We got a podcast. We're based at Galleon and Boyd. Big Red,
go Cats.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Big Red,
go Cats.
Yeah.
Big Red,
go.
Welcome to the Big Red Copcast. I'm Pat. That's you guys.
I'm Joe. I was waiting for Ryan. Wouldn't do it.
I'm Tweety.
It was a stare down between Ryan and I, and I wanted him to go second, but he didn't.
We take 1 week off of the three of us, and all chemistry is lost. And we
It, it was chemistry. I was just seeing if we could change things up a little. And just Tweety was just staring me down. I knew he was just going to let it go longer than I was. So I just decided to break down.
Yeah, Tweety is the most stubborn of the three of us. There are three pretty stubborn dudes on this podcast.
It's true. To be more stubborn than me, and I will admit it, that's pretty damn stubborn. And I think you are, Tweety. You know, I hate to go to improv this early, but years ago, I was in a group, and basically one guy always would go out first, and then another guy usually would go out first, and one guy always talked, these two guys, Kevin and Nooch. Nooch would never say the first line in the scene with anyone, ever. He's very funny, but he never says the first line. So one night in a show, they end up in the first scene, and Kevin does what I tried to do with you, Tweety, except he holds out a lot longer. And eventually, you know, there's a show, there's an audience, there's a crowd, there's the rest of us sitting there, and eventually he gets so pissed at Nooch, he just starts to see by like berating him and yelling at him. And I don't think he ever talked the whole scene. The other guy was just like, literally not his character, the actor was so mad that the other guy wouldn't talk that he just started out yelling at him when he finally started talking. I think we probably edited him right away. Anyway,
that's you did go to improv right away.
I did. And you know what? Whatever. Who cares? They've been here before. We do have stuff to talk about this week, though.
We do. Yeah. I think Tweety is the only one who actually, did you watch some of the open practice live yesterday?
No, I just watched the highlights of it today.
I watched a couple highlights and I read a good deal about it. So I'm somewhat prepared to talk about it from what other people have seen.
I had a chance to go yesterday, and unfortunately, other work things superseded that. I mean, it would have essentially been one of the main reasons to go would have been for work purposes. It was actually another Husker podcaster who offered me the chance to go, but it didn't work.
try to get to the spring game.
We'll see. It's the disadvantage of working in news right now is it gives you the opportunity, but also there are so many millions of other things that need covered at the same time. Did you guys have thoughts watching the highlights?
Well, on the
wide receivers drop a lot of passes.
It's so funny to hear that because, like, if you read the World Herald article this morning, the star of the show was the wide receivers. And it also depends on which wide receivers you're watching. Like Baron Miles' son, I saw drop some passes, but he's not going to ever see the field either.
Yeah. I heard a few names of like walk-ons who were, you know, they showed up a little bit, but our receivers, what I, you know, heard is just the size in general. Like
Omar Mann looks pretty slick.
He's huge. Betts is very tall. He's not filled out like Manning, but he could. And Torre's a tall guy. Even some of their other Falk might be shorter, but Oliver Martin is like 6 feet, 6'1" maybe. So they have a lot more size out there than ever before. And their tight ends are huge.
Every time I would see somebody make like an amazing catch and hit or amazing catch and get out of bounds or like, and it was always this big guy. And I was like, who the fuck is that guy? And it was Jablowski or Jablonski.
Austin Jablonski. He is officially listed as a wide receiver, by the way.
Is he?
Wow.
Yeah. He's, first of all, he looks like a fullback.
Yeah. I mean, if you're named Jablonski, you should be, that's what he should be, is a fullback.
I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And then, I mean, given who knows who was covering him, it was really hard because I didn't have like the number, like you can't always see the names, and I didn't know all the numbers and a lot of new guys out there.
If we got a Jablonski, he was
a quarterback in high school for Pius and a pretty good basketball player too. He might be
my favorite player just on name right now.
He's one of those people that everybody loves to like. You get to know the name watching him like during all the state championships on any.
Yes.
And you're like, and so like everyone knows. It's like when Charlie Easley played for Nebraska basketball. They're like, oh, I remember when he was playing in state championship games. Yes. And like, he's going to be amazing for us. And sometimes that's the case. It's a greater likelihood in football than in basketball because there's no room for like any drop off in talent with basketball because there are only so many guys on the floor. But with football, like you, especially with as positional as it is, you can have some of those guys sneak in and really be a big part of the team. And Jablonski was a legitimately good athlete in high school.
Oh, I got to think even all the walk-ons are good athletes in high school.
Yeah. You're not Scott Frost isn't going to open up. He's not going to open up a locker room space for some 5'3", 270-pound like dude from like Lyons, Decatur.
And you know, schools like Clemson and Alabama can do that because, like, when you get that far down the roster, it matters none at all. Because that guy then, you know, unfortunately for our team, there's still the possibility that a couple walk-ons are going to make it into playing time. Do you know what I mean? Like, you want to actually be able to just have your scholarship guys take all that time, but we're not quite there.
I also don't think Saban's going to fuck around with...
Saban's not. Do you see Saban almost get run over in their spring game?
No, I saw...
They let a car on the field?
No, there was a pick six. And so Saban's just kind of standing, you know, 10 yards away from the quarterback during plays. And, the defensive backs are all coming by. And he had to basically dodge the way of the defensive backs as he did. He didn't hit. He was wearing a very, very bright pink jacket and tie. I don't know if that signifies anything, if he was doing it for any reason or whatever. But it was quite... Maybe he's done that before. It was a pretty, pretty loud jacket.
Well,
Maybe it was also to determine, so people on the field would be like, oh, that's coach. And these
so people don't
blazing pink
run him
blazer.
Over?
Yes, exactly. If he was just wearing a regular suit jacket. Oh, what's definitely. That? 72, maybe.
Yeah, he's, I got to double check his age. It's so funny, like when you think about how young relatively Tom Osborne was when he retired, like 25 years ago now.
Yeah.
It was a different time too.
Yeah.
You were making $15 million a season.
But the Philip Fulmer was out earning him. He was making seven figures when Tom Osborne was making like $250,000, and then Tom Osborne crushed him in his final game. There was money to be made. Also, yes. Too, I feel like coaches burn out more quickly now because just it's so high profile. You can't
you're in
keep
this,
going
yes.
at that
rate. Also made that promise to Solich, the one that completely
that's the big part
forever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, why Solich?
Well, that was his decision because, you know, he'd been his lieutenant for so long. And as the running backs,
so had Charlie, so had.
Sure. But the running backs coach in Nebraska at that time had And was he the offensive coordinator? No.
Well, he wasn't, but he handed him some play calling duties at times late.
Charlie McBride was the best coach on the staff.
I agree.
I don't know if he wanted to be a head coach.
That's also possible. I mean, because if he wanted to be, he could have left long before that and become a head coach.
It didn't strike me as, again, it was a little bit different world back then with the coaches and everything. And yeah, I don't think he necessarily wanted to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was a head coach in high school in Chicago. At one point. And I feel like he may have mentioned he didn't want to be a head coach.
You know,
I think he said that people tried to poach him before. I think you said,
sure.
I believe it.
Oh, definitely. A defensive coordinator on a team that was, you know, top five every year in terms of their final year ranking, top 10, at least during that time. Of course you try to get him.
You know, who else was a high school football coach, before coming to Nebraska?
Milt.
John Cook.
Oh.
Ah.
Yeah.
See.
By the way, Tom Osborne.
Is that, do you want a segue?
Nah, we don't need to do that yet. Just because also I figured out those ages. Nick Saban, 69.
Nice.
Yeah.
He will be 70 on Halloween, I believe I saw. Yeah, Halloween. Meanwhile, Tom Osborne, when he retired, was 59.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Damn, Joe. That's all. Could you imagine if you could retire in a year?
I wish. Man, he could have gone 5 more years.
Probably won 2 or 3 more championships.
He seemed pretty burnt out.
I think you're right. Because that
he really wanted to focus on teammates.
Yeah. Well, there was a documentary too, like right at the end of his time at Nebraska.
Through These Gates?
Yeah.
I sold a Through These Gates DVD today randomly.
Nice.
Who still has a DVD player?
I mean, hey. I have a Blu-ray player.
Yeah, Blu-ray, I understand, sort of. A DVD, though, I don't even.
People have, like, huge DVD collections at this point. Well,
You can play your DVDs on the Blu-ray player, though. You can't go the other way around.
No.
Right. But here's the other thing. So your average file size that you watch on Netflix, right, is, like, 100 gigabytes, let's say, okay? So to watch that same movie on a DVD is like 4 gigabytes. So you're losing like 96% of the quality of the digital information by watching on a DVD. Like I remember the first time I saw.
Wait a minute. I thought, wouldn't it be the other way around?
No, DVDs are so much less information than on Netflix.
But you still get the information. If it's like sometimes people don't care about the additional visual quality of it, sometimes they just want to hear and learn things.
I mean, then sure, but like that's stupid.
You don't lose any of the words.
No, but you do lose all of, like, I remember the first time I watched Through These Gates on DVD because I edited it in basically raw.
You should notice the difference.
Yes, well, and you watch that, and that's a movie you watch not for the information, but for the effects and the big, you know, the visual things.
It is.
there were some good visuals in there.
That's disappointing to me was we did such a good job. I felt on the B-roll and then you watch it on DVD and it looks like shit. I mean, even Blu-ray is still a pretty big drop off. But if you watched it like on the, we take it to movie theaters on this like box, which is basically lossless, it was like an entirely different experience.
Yeah. Well,
now I can see why you don't, after hearing you talk about DVDs, I can see why you don't sell more of them.
well, I mean, we sold a lot back in the day when DVDs were a thing.
But, But how many more do you have? You should wait to talk shit about DVDs until you've exhausted your supply.
I mean, you can also buy it on iTunes.
Oh, well, and well, in that case, the
which is what I would do. I mean, I make less money if you buy it on iTunes, but as a consumer advocate, a la Nader, I would suggest that you buy my movie on iTunes if you're going to buy it. It makes more sense economically.
Through okay. these gates.
People Lincoln might want native, to hold on
Ryan
to the
Tweety.
To the actual copy, though, Ryan. They can't get your autograph. They can't get your autograph on an Apple. On
I
an
don't
iTunes,
autograph the so. DVDs when I send them. I mean, I would if someone requested it, but they don't.
You should start doing like just completely wackadoodle
real
autographs
long,
and messages.
Like what's his name? Like yeah. fucking quarterback guru or whatever his name is.
Just like write love throw you,
God.
Tweety.
Throw God.
Remember him? Oh yes.
That
yes.
fucking guy. I still wonder if he's schizophrenic. He might be.
The Harrison Beck?
Yeah, Harrison Beck.
Do you still have your SpaghettiOs?
Yeah.
On the edge.
I threw away the wife beater. Yeah.
What about the soup?
Yeah, I got this. Yeah, I still got the SpaghettiOs. But he didn't. I don't think he autographed the wife beater, and it was just smelled like sweat. Like he legit sent me a sweaty wife, like a used wife beater.
Oh, yeah, I'm that sure he did.
That he ripped
I'm
off
sure
of himself.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he gross. Even initially had anyway. The video of him doing that, and before sending that.
He may have. He may have.
That's an NFT at this point.
No, it's okay. not. Oh, the okay. video would be yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
That's video. What I mean. The video. The
it
video.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, you would have to encrypt it and all that stuff. But yeah, it could be.
Sure. So yeah, it's good that at least people got to see the team. You know what I mean? Like I feel like that's a step in a direction there.
Great segue. That was not confusing at all.
Well, it wasn't really a segue. It was kind of going backwards.
Yes. Yes.
Beep, beep. Yeah. What do you think? Beep. Yeah.
Oh, well, can I say something that I said off air before? That, you know, in the reporting I was reading, it seems like Harburg can throw it pretty well. And what I was suggesting is that when you see Harburg and you see Smothers, one of them looks like a big time quarterback and the other one looks like
a child.
Yes, especially next to each other, probably. So there were a lot of good reports coming out about Harburg. And not that it was necessarily overshadowing Smothers, but I could just imagine seeing the two of them next to each other. Smothers almost has to do twice as much to get the attention.
Well, I also think too, like we as Husker fans have a real tendency of we love potential and then
yes.
try and turn that into the immediate. Like,
right.
If you were to need a quarterback today, I mean, obviously Adrian Martinez is the starter.
Yep.
And that bums some people out wrongly. But like,
well, that's relative.
I think as a senior, I think he's the guy. I do think though, if you needed a quarterback today who wasn't him, it would be Smothers. And I don't think it would even be close. Now, if you look at the frame and the possibilities and the speed and everything that you could potentially do with Henrik Harburg, there's a lot to potentially be excited about. But all we do for the last few decades is like, oh man, this guy with potential behind the existing quarterback.
We love
he could be the guy. Well, and I realize every fan base does that.
That's every school that is in Alabama.
Right. I get that. Yeah. But
even
man,
Alabama, I mean, they're talking about Tua when they still got Jalen Hurts.
Well,
I mean,
and Alabama, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, honest to God. Like,
quarterback's the worst player on the team half the time.
Look, I just don't think you're going to see an Alabama quarterback be what they were in college in the NFL. You're not going to see any of them. Even this guy who, you know, the guy who they think San Francisco is going to take third.
Mac Jones.
He's a system guy. I mean, you're looking at like.
He did do a pretty good job of distributing this past year. Like he didn't play out of his body. Like that's what some of the best NFL quarterbacks do. They just know how to distribute without looking flashy.
That's true. And maybe that's the case, but I just don't think, I think Alabama quarterbacks have become like what Florida quarterbacks were, where the team is going 11-2 and running it up on everybody. And he's throwing to guys who are 20 yards open because they're the number three pick in the draft wide receiver. And you got five pros on your offensive line there.
Well, Florida,
so you've got a lot of time.
Florida was also playing that stupid funky Spurrier system for a lot of years too. Like the thing about Alabama, their offense isn't flashy at all. There are very few bells and whistles, but
you're wrong. There's like 130 bells and whistles.
Well, that's, I mean, the talent is far superior.
That's why they don't have to scheme.
Right.
That's why they're at every position. They're very unimpressive what they do. I don't think that Saban's a good coach. I think he's got great boosters. I think he's got great ability. He's got great. Who's that guy on his staff that's like a known fucking money bag? What's his name? He's like the number two recruiter in the country every year. Number one recruiter, top three.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of Tosh Lupoy, who's not there anymore.
Yeah. Oh, he's not there anymore. But that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Where's he now? The guy. Or did he leave?
I think he went over to Herm Edwards' staff, but I might be full of shit there.
Well,
he's with Urban Meyer with the Jaguars.
Oh,
what a waste!
Yeah, right. You're not going to get anybody extra that way. Well, Urban Meyer, he may think that the best money bag guy is the best coach you can get because that's how it worked at Ohio State.
That's true. I'm really interested to see how Urban Meyer does in the pros.
I don't think he will do well.
I don't think so either, because he won't have the advantage.
Exactly.
Same with Nick Saban.
Same with Steve
Nick
Spurrier.
Saban only gave it a year. He pissed off Dolphin fans because they got excited, and then he's like, never mind.
Yeah.
Well,
I wonder what that never mind was.
Well, they went 500.
He brings in Dante Culpepper instead of Drew Brees. And then he leaves the team after he makes that move.
I forgot it was him who made that dumbass
decision. Yes, exactly. So it's like, I've just made a 10-year mistake. I'm going to get out of here.
That's more than 10 years, probably.
That's a 15-year mistake.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, because Brees just retired, and
he had a Hall of Fame run there.
If that was 15 years ago, he was with the Dolphins. That's crazy.
Dante Culpepper had an all right.
Yes.
He was really good with the Vikings.
I was going to say he went to the Vikings where all quarterbacks go to die.
Well, no, that's
– No, before
– really,
you know what? Even more specifically, all black quarterbacks go to die.
What? Randall Cunningham revived his career right before.
Yeah, they didn't die there.
Warren Moon went there.
Yeah, he played pretty well there too.
No, I mean, they didn't die
there. At the back end of his career.
That's what I'm saying. Randall Cunningham was an Eagle through and through.
True.
Yeah,
you're right.
But
they did okay.
The Oiler through and through. Dante Culpepper, I don't
was
know.
He got drafted by the Vikings.
He got drafted by them. And he had like a 48 touchdown season. But that was all Randy Moss. Again, I'll say that's the rare instance where in the NFL you have wide receivers who are better than anybody. You got Chris Carter and you have Randy Moss. And they also had
Favre went there to die.
Jake Reed was really good with them. Yeah. I grew up a Vikings fan. Favre actually had
the black quarterback that went there to die.
Favre actually had a pretty solid first season there until he then reverted to his old Brett Favre ways in the NFC Championship game. He was just manager for much of that season. And what then he wanted to be the star of that NFC Championship.
Well, he had a concussion probably because they hit the shit out of him that game.
Yeah.
What would you have done if Brett Favre would have came out as a Viking and just went in blackface?
I mean, I already don't like Brett Favre. So
I was going to say, if there was one NFL quarterback who may have done that in their history.
Tom Brady?
I wouldn't rule out Favre having done that with his dick when he showed it to a Jets staffer.
That's crazy. But also, I respect it. Bold move, Cotton.
No,
but no, Randall Cunningham like when he, like everyone thought he was washed up, he went to the Vikings and then they went 15-1 and it would have been a great Super Bowl between them and the Broncos.
Yep.
And then they, and then Gary Anderson misses a field goal that would have put
the
them
first one
10,
of the season,
the only kick he misses all year. But also Randy Moss was hurt in the second half of that game. And it just, nothing went right. The Vikings had that game won, and then the Falcons just got destroyed by the Dolphins or by the Broncos.
That Falcons team was awful. Was that Chris Chandler?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a that was crap.
They did the Dirty Bird.
Yes. Oh, Jamal. Was it Jamal Anderson?
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
When teams still had fat running backs.
Yes. You know, Pablo Sandoval has 3 pinch hit home runs already. Speaking of fat.
Damn.
Can you imagine 3 home run pinch hits? Because if it's not a home run, he ain't getting around the bases.
No, he's not real swift of foot.
No. So do we still have more on the spring game?
Well, I'm just curious. So, like, what, you know, I brought up the name Adrian Martinez and saying, you know, that, like, everyone's skeptical, and I don't think I get the skepticism, but also, like, he is probably the best we have right now. But I want to take that sort of like mentality and port that over to, like, it feels like there's some similar but different feelings with Omar Manning coming into this year. And because all we got last year were questions.
I would say,
like,
different.
They're different. Yeah.
Completely different.
Well, in that, like,
well, we've seen nothing from him.
Some gun shyness, but also like a Groundhog Day kind of thing from last year, like, oh, like excitement but skepticism. And I think, you know, we got all those questions last year about him, like every week, like, what's the deal with Omar Manning? I don't fucking know. Like,
right.
And then now, like,
but he wasn't even practicing last year.
Are we going to get roped in again?
He was taking weeks off for practice.
But why is it?
He tweets and posts on Instagram about mental health. I shouldn't say tweets. He posts on Instagram about mental health all the time. It seems like he has some sort of struggle with depression and anxiety. Yeah. A la Ricky.
Get in line.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
but
also.
I'm kidding.
It's so, and like, I feel like a lot of people want to just say, like, what do you have to be anxious or depressed about as a college football player? It's not how it works. Not how it works.
No,
at all.
And it's a college student. You go away from home for maybe the first time. That's crazy shit.
I think that what you're talking about, though, is just basic weirdness. I think what he might have is like legit chemical disorders. Like,
well, yeah.
And that's when it really starts to manifest too, in your late teens, your early 20s. That's when mental issues come to the forefront sometimes.
25 years old for men is when a lot of them develop like schizophrenia and like real true chemical imbalances. Yep. So, well,
and as someone who has a diagnosed anxiety disorder in OCD, I can tell you high stress situations, and I would classify probably being a high profile athlete probably has some high stress that comes with it. High stress situations don't help. They do not make things easier. And I think probably that first year coming into a D1 program, especially in the midst of COVID-19, probably did not help that case for him one lick, I would bet.
No, absolutely not. I was listening to a podcast and there was an athlete who he had played in the NFL. I forget his name. Dominique Foxworth. He also was like a NFL. You know, he was on the executive board of the players and stuff like that. And he's a commentator now. And he was talking about his career. And he said the years that he was happiest were his worst seasons in the NFL. He said the years when he was kind of miserable and depressed and anxious ended up being some of his best years. And he said that may not have been healthy for me as a human being, living with that stress and kind of reacting to it and the pressure of everything, but it did make me perform really well. And I'm just, you know, even he himself was saying, you know, I don't know how healthy that was. I just happen to know that the years I was miserable were some of my better years as a player. And I don't know if that's like you get on the field and that's the only place you can really feel good or whatever, but.
Well, I think too, well, just like even hearing like Grant Wistrom talk about why he started medicating with cannabis, like I think to be a high level performer, you really, really, really have to key yourself up in a way that can be damaging in a bunch of ways. Like he said, it just completely wrecked his gastrointestinal tract. Like he couldn't eat because his stomach would get so worked up. He wouldn't be able to sleep for multiple days. He was scared of interpersonal relationships because like he was just, he had to wind himself up in a way that
he was screwing with his adrenal glands.
That's just like unfathomable. To like, that's a person who, A, holy shit, that's a competitor, but also like B, man, that's tough to picture a person putting themselves in that sort of.
But that's how high the level of competition is with them. I'm also, it reminds me a little bit. I'm reading a book about the British paratroopers who were the first commandos basically in World War II.
Way to brag that you're reading.
Yeah. And again,
these are the Red Rising trilogy, so no big deal.
Yeah, we're all reading. That's great. This is a nonfiction book that's about, you know, the first SEAL Team 6, but it was in World War II and it was this desert troop in Britain.
So it wasn't SEAL Team 6 at all because that.
But this is what that SEAL Team 6 is based on. This was the first type of commando unit.
I'm taking apart everything you say, Joe, because I don't like you.
That's fine. And but those guys were talking about when they'd go on a lot of them would drink or do whatever it took to get charged up. And then afterwards they were very violent and you couldn't, it's a similar thing. You get keyed up for a situation. Now those guys were literally life and death.
Were they also taking like methamphetamines and like.
These guys weren't, they didn't have too many, they didn't have access to that. The German troops did.
I thought the American troops in World War II were taking like
these are Brits.
Oh, sorry.
So again, the Brits drink tea, we drink coffee. So when we go up, we need to have amphetamines and the Brits just need coffee. Since they're drinking tea, it just levels up that way.
By the way, two of your most recent topics tied together, because I was trying to remember who Dominique Foxworth played for. So I just looked up his Wikipedia. You know where Dominique Foxworth was born? Oxford, England.
Whoa, that's weird.
Yeah.
Although he does have the name of a guy from Oxford, England. Dominique Foxworth.
That's, yeah.
Anyway, so you got to get keyed up. Yeah. You were comparing Omar Manning and.
It was a loose comparison.
Really loose. But I want to say this. I've been thinking about this lately. Everybody's like trying to spin the Wandale Robinson into a good thing, which is, I know you guys are going to say I'm wrong, but it's absolutely ludicrous. It's the most ludicrous argument I've ever heard.
I don't think it's a good thing.
Pat, I'll call it addition by subtraction.
No, I won't. There's a little bit more subtlety to it than that, but I'll address that after you make your point first.
I think that one true addition by subtraction might actually be Luke McCaffrey.
I agree.
And the only reason I say that is because I think that the best option would have been to make him a wide receiver or
running back.
Or a running back or a D-back or something. But the worst thing that they could have done is kept him on and had him fight for first-string quarterback so that Adrian Martinez could never be comfortable.
Yep.
Adrian Martinez.
And Smothers would have gone. Yeah, you're right. That move did not hurt in any way, except, as you said, it could have helped them.
It hurt with perception.
Well, it could have helped him if he was willing to be a weapon.
Yeah.
Now he's going to Louisville. He may not win the job there. And if he ends up being like a weapon at Louisville, I'm going to be kind of pissed in that case.
That's what he's going to do. He's going to end up being, that's what he's going to do. Either that or he's never going to play.
But see.
And the NCAA just changed that rule, right? You can only transfer once now.
Well.
And then play right away.
Yeah, right. Once and play right. But I think there's an advantageous position for a coach recruiting him the second time, because Frost can recruit him and say, hey man, you're going to be a quarterback for us. We want you to be a quarterback. And then if you pitch to him yeah, sorry, it's not working out at quarterback. You're going to have to be a wide receiver or running back. He's going to look at that and say, but you told me quarterback, I'm going to go to this other place. The second place is going to be like, no, honestly, we're going to make you a quarterback. And then it doesn't work out. And you can say, hey, this is the second time for you. Like, you really need to be a wide receiver or running back. And he's going to have to be like, shit, I guess
you
you're
can't
right.
Go
this
again.
Is,
yeah.
This is a pattern. Also, I can't transfer again, and he will have no other choice. So Louisville is in a little bit of a position that Scott Frost couldn't be with that. Now, that said, I want to say there are some weird similarities, not weird. I don't know why I said that, but some similarities between McCaffrey and Wandale in that you don't want to lose either of them. They both have a shit ton of potential to be great. I don't, but I think like when it comes to winning and utilizing them in the way that helps you win versus the way that they want to be utilized, that's where the problem, like we yeah. Like Wandale, like any offense is better when you can utilize a variety of different weapons and kind of be a little bit unpredictable in that way. Our offense just went through Wandale, 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 Wandale all the time.
Yeah, because there was nobody else to go through.
Well, that's part of it too. And it, like there needs to be some level of development to allow.
And
for,
also the people keep saying that about Wandale, but he was covered a lot. There was a lot of times that the ball did not go through Wandale. He might have been the first look.
Well, he can't be a guy that size. It's hard for him to dominate in the amount of usage.
I think that people are misconstruing how much they gave the ball to Wandale. He may have been the first look every play or whatever, but he didn't get the ball that much.
Well, he didn't get it every time. And it felt like, man, we should get it to him every time because he was our only weapon. It felt like many games. Like,
right. He was the most effective weapon.
And what if we gained that's going to replace him?
Well, I think ideally
it's spread around more.
Xavier Betts will be a year older. Omar Manning will still be here. Will Nixon, it sounds like, is coming along. He tore his knee last year.
Torrey or whatever that guy looks like he might be, right?
The thing is, Adrian Martinez, do you think we got all these tall receivers because he overthrew so many passes? Because now we've got, like, if our receivers are on average 3 inches taller, that could be two catches a game that we're gaining back.
I mean, also on deep passes, I don't know that
yeah.
a taller guy makes a difference on that. Like, he just, those were strides that he was missing people. But,
oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously big targets don't hurt, especially if those big targets can run. And I'm not saying, like, we're necessarily better off without Wandale, but I do think our offense needs to be diversified, and I think he was so good that sometimes he was a bit of a crutch.
He was our best running back and our best wide receiver, and that really in a way was great for him, but it nobody else came
great
out.
until we got him killed, right. He that guy took some shots.
His last game with Nebraska, when he ran that into the end zone, I still remember that. They ran him four times, and it was on fourth down that he got in. They could have taken Mills and taken it in. That what game was that? Was that their last game?
Rutgers, yeah.
Yes. And you know, he got planted in the end zone there. And they should have had a touchdown two plays before that. Now, also brings up there are running backs. We haven't mentioned one running back.
Well, I thought the running backs, but I just watched highlights. So
sure,
the running backs I thought looked legit.
Yeah, and that's without a lot of the better ones playing.
Without Sevian Morrison or
Step.
Who's the other one?
So Sevian, Step. There was at least, what's that?
Who's Step?
The USC.
He's the USC transfer.
What's his full name?
Maurice.
Maurice Step. Sevian Morrison, the Georgia running back.
Tompkins?
Yes. They said he looked like he wasn't injured, which is
– That's good.
I'm not sure that's the description that you're looking for, but it's good news.
yeah, I don't know. My hope is that the receivers looking well. It's tough with scrimmages because like look like the receivers got the better of the defensive backs, and it's like, well, man, I hope that means the receivers are really good and not that the defensive backs were bad. And the D line,
I thought the defensive backs looked good too.
The D line beat the O line a number of times too.
Yeah, that's true. I did just, but it was a lot of like one on ones, and I felt like it was going back and forth. The one thing I did notice that stood out was I felt like a lot of drop passes on the wide receivers where it would hit them in the hands and they would drop it. But there was also a couple of really great diving catches. Like
it also
come back to the ball.
It also matters like who's dropping them or who's beating whom. Right. Like, because yeah.
That's why,
like,
it's all irrelevant.
Yeah. The final part of that, though, is that, like, yeah, some of the starting defensive linemen beat some of the starting offensive linemen a decent number of times. And I'm hoping that just means, like, hey, we can get some push up front from the D-line.
Our defense should be better next year. I mean, it's such a veteran defense at this point.
Linebackers will be key.
Yeah.
Because
Randolph Kapai, I think, is going to be key.
Well, I hope not as a freshman that he
is. Oh, is he just a freshman?
Yeah.
Then I'm thinking of someone else. I'm thinking of, is there a sophomore linebacker they had who was?
Well, Nick Henrick, potentially.
No, Caleb Tanner. I thought there was a guy in between them. Maybe I'm wrong.
Hey, guys, where are we at in the recording?
You ready to leave?
No. I have to poop. So I'm debating whether or not I should just let you guys carry us. Or I should wait.
I think we should wrap it up and you should go enjoy that and not have to rush and pinch it off.
Not the pressure. Okay. None of us want to have the pressure of you pooping.
Okay. Yeah. So follow us on Twitter at Big Red Cobcast. We're on Facebook.com/Cobcast. Go to Patreon.com/Big Red Cobcast. Help us out, guys. And enjoy your dump, Tweety.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite parts of the day.
Better rides a bus.
And a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.